We are going to turn this morning to Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And I hope that you are enjoying Galatians, because I am absolutely thrilled with it. And sometimes when you're studying the Word of God, suddenly the Lord takes you on a ride through the Scriptures, and you go somewhere you've never been before, and you get all excited and just overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord. And so I was struggling with this fourth chapter. Sometimes we do struggle as we wrestle with the Word of God, and we're trying to not only have a blessing for ourselves, but also for others. And I've always said that I'm a very selfish preacher. If it doesn't help me any, I don't think it's going to help anybody else. So I need a lot of help. So we're beginning to read in Galatians chapter 4 at the first verse. Let us hear God's word. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, what is that? It's like we were in elementary school. We were under this learning of our numbers. We got to learn all our numbers. We got to learn all our letters, and we got to learn how to put our letters together and make words. It's elementary. And we were, as children, under those elements. Verse 4. But here's the great change. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, or therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of the seventh verse, which closes that section. As the apostle is writing to the needs of these Galatian believers. So we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit who breathed this word those many, many centuries ago, that the Spirit of God will be pleased today to come and breathe upon us his word and his truth, that we might receive the message of it, that we might be blessed by it, that we might receive exactly what we need today. We are looking at just the seventh verse. Wherefore, or therefore, thou art no more a servant, literally a slave. That's the word. But a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. George Washington Carver was one of the most famous people buried in the state of Alabama. Of course, he was a world-renowned scientist, and we are still benefiting from his research to this day. He was a professor at what is now Tuskegee University down south, and he was born into a slave family in Missouri during the war between the states. And one night, some raiders came riding through the plantation where he lived, kidnapped the newborn, little George, and his sister and their mother, and took them all the way to Kentucky. And the Carver family was very upset that this raid had taken place. And Mr. Carter sent a man to Kentucky to look for those slaves that had been so taken away. And the man was only able to find baby George. And in order to get him back and take him home, he traded a really good horse for him and took little baby George back to the Carver home there in Missouri. And the Carvers, very loving, compassionate Christian people, adopted George and his slightly older brother James as their sons. And they loved the boys, and they taught them how to read the Bible and how to write. And the Carvers encouraged George especially because he had a great inclination toward books and study and learning. James wasn't really interested in that. He was glad just to help around on the plantation and do what he could because they were free. They were no longer slaves, and they were members of the family. And so the family was so good to the boys, and when they had taught George all that they could teach him, they encouraged him to go on and to continue to learn, and they supported him. They gave him all the encouragement and support they could give. And finally, he was able to get his Bachelor of Science degree and his Master of Science degree in Iowa. And George Washington Carver gladly shared his testimony in the places where he went, telling about how he had come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the students down at Tuskegee loved for him to teach them Bible classes. And he loved teaching Bible classes. And he was such a great teacher that he always taught the scriptures in a very distinct way. And they begged him to teach more classes on the scriptures. And he loved the Lord, and he loved to share that with many people. And his life just struck me as the perfect illustration for this verse of Scripture. Because this verse tells us what we were, what we became, and then what we shall be. So, first of all, let us consider what we were according to this verse of Scripture. Therefore, thou art no more a slave, literally. George didn't know that he was a slave. He was just a tiny baby, but he was born under slavery. And you know, we were also born under the shackles of slavery. And by nature, we were in bondage and did not even realize it. In bondage to sin. And we had this wonderful African-American lady who came several years ago to our event over at Point Mallard. And she said, do you realize there are more slaves in the world today than there ever were? And I was so glad that Andy went over there to help in Ukraine, because the women and the children, so many of them that were fleeing as refugees from that country, were being taken by the Muslims and made perpetual slaves, which they have so many all over the world. Not only them, but communists do the same kind of thing. But, you know, we were born under the shackles of slavery to our sin. And the Jews in Galatia were born under the minute ceremonies of the whole law. So they were very much as we know, enslaved to that. They were not freed. Even though the Messiah had come, they were still in bondage. And the Gentiles were born under all of the slavery and depravity of human sin there in Galatia. So no matter if one was born as a Jew or a Gentile, we were all naturally born under the dominion and the bondage of sin. We were sin slaves, legally. The law was binding us over to condemnation and eternal death because we were the unrepenting captives of sin. But you know, we were also the slaves of sin, not only legally, but practically. We couldn't break free because we didn't want to break free. We didn't want to bid farewell to our cruel master sin because we actually enjoyed our evil way. I thank God for my father. He did his best to try to cure me of the awful, cruel master that I had known as lying. I was a perpetual liar. So you grandchildren, you get it dishonestly. So now we know that we are enslaved naturally to things like that. And even the pleasures of sin, though those pleasures are temporary, most sinners are content to remain all their lives and to go on and on feeding on cheap, passing, vain pleasures of sin. And that's where we were when God rescued some of us. Many of us were not only slaves to sin, we were slaves legally and practically, but we're also slaves religiously. We had the outward form of Christianity, just like the majority of Orthodox Jews are content with a form or a formula of religion. And most Roman Catholics are happy just to be Roman Catholic in name, and that's it, and never go any farther than that. They went to catechism when they were little, and they may have been sort of confirmed or whatever. And so most are content just with the shell of religion without having the substance, without having the reality, without having the joy of living in a relationship and fellowship with the triune God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, we have been changed. Many of us have been changed from slaves into sons. Notice verse 7. Therefore, thou art no more a slave, but a son. What a blessing to be adopted into the family. We are now the sons of God by faith in Christ. How did we come to this? How did this happen to be our condition? The early context of Galatians chapter 4 sets very clearly before us the answer. The process and the reality of adoption has come to us because of the death of a loved one. Now you understand the reason that I have this gold watch is not because I deserve it. It's because of the death of a loved one who possessed that. It was rightly his. And the only way that we can be adopted is because of the death of a loved one. If you remember, baby George Washington Carver, his father was already dead before he was kidnapped. And then his mother died shortly after that awful ordeal. So because of the death of his loved ones, it was very easy for him to be adopted. And he was adopted by those Christian folks that loved him. And it was God the Father that so graciously chose us in eternity past to adopt us as poor, hopeless, bankrupt sinners to be his children eternally. How wonderful that he brought this eternal choice of his into time at the fullness of the time when he sent his son, our elder brother, to take our nature upon himself. And it was our elder brother who died for us, taking our sin upon himself on that old rugged cross. By the son's death and redeeming blood, our adoption was purchased. And hallelujah, Christ's purchase of our adoption was applied to us personally by the Spirit of adoption coming to indwell within our hearts, as we saw last Lord's Day in verse 6. This is ours simply by believing in Christ's death and resurrection for us. That he did that for us unworthy sinners. Thank God we have been brought from being slaves to becoming sons of God by faith in Christ. Now finally, what we shall be. And this is where I get filled with absolute, utter delight. So please forgive me. We are all heirs. Notice here in verse 7. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It's only through Christ. It's all through Christ. But it is ours in him. We are heirs with an eternal inheritance. Our inheritance is called an eternal inheritance in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. But when George Washington Carver was a baby in his adopted home, the wealth of that Carver family was being expended on him. It was used for his nourishment. It was used for his care, used for his upbringing. As he got older, as a young man, George was still living on the benefits of his adoption. Of course, he made his contribution to the Carver family. He always did what he could out of gratitude, working around the home for their, because of their great love to him. Now, you've probably heard of people that were living on their inheritance. I'm doing that right now. I'm living on my inheritance in Christ. I'm still living on my inheritance from my daddy, too, and I'm very thankful. But some people receive such a huge inheritance that they can comfortably live upon their inheritance for the rest of their lives. Yeah, y'all know one of my cousins. He was an only child and he got such a huge inheritance from his mom and dad. And yes, he could live on the rest of his life. So as Christians, we have the privilege to live on our eternal inheritance right now. The vast multitude of inherited blessings are ours to enjoy in the present as well as eternally. Christ has purchased such wonderful benefits on that cross for us that we have the privilege of these things being lavished upon us continually by the grace of God. Now, what are some of these benefits? I just mentioned a few. We have fellowship with God. We are no longer strangers to the triune God. Just to walk with him and talk with him and know that he is with us. The Spirit of God indwells us. Jesus said, "The Father, I and the Father will come and we will make our abode with you." So not just the Spirit of God, but the Father and the Son. We have this wonderful assurance of God's love. We have peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, growth in grace, answers to prayer, empowering by the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life and even to live victoriously and usefully. We have His words of promise along with His words of discipline. And I like to think of that because those whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges. We thank God for His discipline and His secure keeping of His children to all eternity. Just a few of the benefits. He could go on for a long time. But, you know, the vast majority of the Bible speaks of inheriting. God's will is especially set forth in general as inheritance. And we read in Deuteronomy about God's will of dividing to the nations their inheritance. Now, I like to think about America in particular, but the scripture speaks about all the nations having their inheritance, whether they know it or not. Now, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's a pretty good inheritance if the grandchildren are still going to be enjoying it. Okay. Now, although this is not a universal statement, it is clearly a general truth and pattern of God's providence for His people. Because you know, not every good man is married, and not every good man has children. But we see the pattern here of God's will for most of His people. The natural seed of Abraham, you remember, they received their portion of the inheritance land after the conquest of the promised land. They all got their little portion of the inheritance. God's purpose and promise to His obedient people is that every man would safely sit down under His vine and fig tree. That's the purpose of God. His promise for those of His obedient people. Mentions it several times in the Old Testament. Of course, the Levites had a spiritual inheritance of the Lord Himself as they served Him and He provided for them and for their families. That was the tribe of Levi. Their inheritance was the Lord. And all those tithes and offerings that came in were for the upkeep of their family, as well as the temple and the tabernacle. Now, we praise God for the rich heritage that has come to the Western world in particular because of the Reformation. Because of the Reformation in the 1500s and following, we get, as commoners, to actually have an inheritance to give to our descendants. We thank God for the Reformation because we have the privilege as commoners to give an inheritance to our descendants. Our European and American heritage has been particularly blessed by the Lord. Just think of your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. We are still living on our inheritance from them, whether the inheritance is good or evil. But I'm especially referring to the material wealth that they have given us for just a moment. How does the God in His Bible count wealth? What does God regard as wealth? Of course, land and livestock. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127, that word heritage comes from the verb to inherit. So children and family are wealth. Silver and gold are wealth. But think of the generations before us, of our great-grandparents' wealth that has come down to us. There is much more value in the spiritual blessings that they have brought down to us You think of the prayers that our great-grandparents made regularly for the generations to come. I think of one of my great-grandmothers. Even though she married a Union soldier, I still love her. And I'm sorry, he was an atheist and hated God, and died that way. But I do thank God for her testimony. And she had such a great influence on my father, as well as his other set of grandparents who were such godly people. I thank God for that, for the spiritual blessings that have come, the prayers that they made regularly, the godly examples. And their great-grandparents were of true Christian faith. Their habits of prayer and scripture reading in the home with the family. They're keeping holy the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, and endeavoring to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world through Christ. Because Christ is the light of the world. He is the true light that shineth in the darkness. So I wonder today, just before we get to the end, do you know Christ? Because all of this, in the last two words of this verse 7, it is all through Christ. He is God. He is the very channel of the Father and the Spirit, bringing to us this wonderful spiritual eternal inheritance. So do you know Him? Is your faith in Him? Are you relying on Christ? You are probably relying to some extent on that padded pew to hold you up and keep you from falling. Just completely throw yourself in the arms of Jesus to hold you and to keep you from falling eternally. Are you relying on Christ, on His atoning work, on His precious blood alone as your salvation? Not as the means to your salvation, but as your salvation itself. Do you remember what we sang today? Psalm 27, the psalmist said, "The Lord is my salvation." Salvation is not a commodity. It is not a product. It is a person. It is being brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord is my salvation. Now, God gave great blessings to a former slave, George Washington Carver, and made him into blessings for the whole world still today. And you think about the inheritance that we have from that Christian. Do you love peanut butter? Thank God for George, who invented it, and so many things. But you know, an inheritance is so important. That's why the scripture teaches us that if a man is so sinful and selfish that he will not care for the needs of his own family, the scripture says he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What about a man that will so live in sin? I'm not talking about somebody who's persecuted and everything he has has been stolen. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about somebody that has simply spent their lives living for themselves in sin without any care for their children and the generations to come. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I thank God for the good man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect man, the God-man, the man who is fully God and fully man. Let us pray. We thank Thee, blessed God, for the wonderful privilege of being delivered from that slavery into which we were born. We thank Thee for adopting us into Thy holy family, Lord Jesus. We praise Thee, O Father, that Thou hast given us through Thy Son such an inheritance forever. And we don't have to wait to get there to enjoy it. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.